The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. It's been a rough time for our brothers and sisters in Hawaii, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, a very rough time. First came the wildfires in Maui. Almost a month after those wildfires began, close to 400 people are still missing. 115 are confirmed dead. The entire town of Lahaina burned to the ground. It will take billions of dollars and years to rebuild and recover, though I doubt anyone ever really fully recovers after living through something so catastrophic. Next came Hurricane Idalia this past week. Idalia actually wasn't as bad as it could have been. The hurricane made landfall at low tide, which lessened the storm surge considerably, and something called an eyewall replacement cycle occurred at a crucial time. I still don't know what that means after reading several articles, but it had a beneficial impact. Still, at least one person died during the storm, and damage estimates are currently running from $12 to $20 billion. In the aftermath of wildfires and hurricanes, ice storms, and terrorist attacks, we are always blessed with stories of heroes. The stories of people who run toward danger instead of away from it. Benny Reinecke is one of those people. A fit, young guy, Benny could have just booked out of Lahaina when the fires moved in, but Benny saw Lonnie Williams and her disabled mother, Sincerity, get out of their car after the two of them realized that they couldn't outrun, well, outdrive the flames. These women were total strangers to Benny, but he came to their aid. Carrying Sincerity, who walks with a walker, on his back, over a nearby seawall into the ocean water. And Benny stayed with Lonnie and Sincerity in the water for over 8 hours until the fires subsided. Inspiring, isn't he? But after disasters and tragedies, we also, of course, hear the other stories about the looters stealing fuel, electronics, groceries, and anything else that's left unguarded. About the land speculators trying to buy up prime real estate in a burned-out town for cheap. About the folks who file fraudulent insurance claims, the folks who play politics at the worst moments, the folks who start charging ridiculous prices for gas, for drinking water. Heroes and villains, sacrifice and selfishness, good and bad. Yep, over the past weeks, the complexity of human nature has once again revealed itself, and not only in the stories coming out of Hawaii and Florida, but also in our gospel readings from Matthew. Last week, you might remember, we heard about an important moment in Jesus' ministry. For quite a while now, Jesus has been teaching and healing, performing miracles, and taking on the Jewish religious authorities. In a few moments with his disciples, away from the crowds that keep following him around, Jesus does a bit of checking in. "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" he asks. The disciples answer with a number of names. Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But when Jesus asks his next question, "Who do you say that I am?" only one disciple steps up to the plate, Peter. And in a glorious confession of faith, Peter identifies Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter done good, and he is rewarded with a blessing from Jesus, and even more, a promise that his confession of faith will be the rock upon which Christ's church will be built. What a moment, our hero. But how quickly things turn. In our reading for today, in the verses from Matthew which come right after last week's, our hero becomes a villain. Doesn't take much. Following Peter's confession of faith, Matthew tells us, Jesus starts trying to help his disciples understand the road ahead, what being the Messiah will entail. Jesus must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. But Peter doesn't welcome this hard teaching, refuses to accept it, even going so far as to take Jesus aside to rebuke him. It's kind of crazy, really. You think about the things Peter has seen Jesus do, walk on water, exorcise demons, multiply loaves and fish to feed a crowd of thousands, heal people with a word. And yet, Peter decides he's going to correct Jesus about what is to come. "God forbid it, Lord," he says. "This must never happen to you." The hero just blessed for his confession of faith is now cursed, called Satan, the nastiest villain of all. The rock becomes a stumbling block. So fast, you could get whiplash. It's like that for all of us, isn't it? One moment we are being all Jesus asks us to be, kind, forgiving, generous. And the next moment we are being our worst selves, judgmental, vindictive, selfish. One moment we are confessing Jesus as Lord, and the next we are gossiping about our neighbor. One moment we ask God to lead us where God will and to give us work to do, and the next we say, "But not down that path, God, and I don't want to do that." It's the human condition. We are both saint and sinner, as Martin Luther observed so long ago. A well-known prayer acknowledges this battle going on within us. Perhaps you've heard it or prayed it yourself. It goes, "Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few moments, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help." We wrestle constantly with Jesus' call to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. Suffering and sacrifice, that's what Peter objected to. "God forbid it, Lord." Suffering and sacrifice is hard. We fail at it a lot. But by the grace of God, we also succeed at it. And every once in a while, it's good for us to notice and celebrate that, to notice and celebrate how God works through flawed, complicated, broken human beings, people like Peter, people like you and me, to do good things. We feed our hungry neighbors at my brother's table. We have made more than 100 quilts for Lutheran World Relief already this year, and it's still a month until Ingathering Sunday. In those baskets are just a few of the many care kits we've assembled and put together for clients of Community Cares. This year, we've donated thousands of dollars to Lutheran Disaster Response and continue to generously support our missionaries, the Swansons, and their medical ministry in Tanzania. We took on a building project so we could open our doors in new ways to the people of Carlisle. 3 different AA groups now meet here every single week of the year, along with several other support groups. Head Start occupies the entire space beneath this nave, nurturing kids and their families. This barely scratches the surface of the list of loving, sacrificial, generous, cross-bearing things that go on around here. You pray, you give, you donate blood, you bake, you visit, you teach, you meet, you serve, you bless, you bear one another's burdens. That all might not sound particularly heroic, but through the grace of God, the mercy of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the kind of stuff that changes the world.